We had a great chat today with a fifth generation rancher, Rancher Ryan, or rather Ryan Bedke, and they are about to embark on their own direct to consumer beef journey with their brand, Hat Brand Beef. Enjoy.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for doing this.
No problem.
When we first started kind of looking at Instagram last year, we've been super big in Facebook. We never really used Instagram because we were of the mindset, like a lot of people, that it was just a photo sharing app, which it isn't anymore at all. And I now realize that. But we were getting so much abuse and so much negative feedback of beef, and we're just getting bombarded with beef substitutes and meatless meat and go vegan. And it was just to the point where there was nowhere to turn for any kind of counterintelligence and counter statistics. And I got to the point where I even called Canada Beef, because they're meant to be, them with the Cattlemen's Association, are meant to be the lobbyists to kind of in our favor. And I was kind of mad, and I called them up and was like, I'm so frustrated that this is happening and there's nowhere for us to turn. And they kind of said that, well, they have an advertising campaign and they are lobbying against it. And I was like, well, I'm a rancher and I sell beef direct to market, and nothing that I search or look at, I've never ever found any of your counter campaigns and counter ads or anything. So you're doing it wrong. And they're
doing a terrible job.
They're doing a terrible job. And they, I ended up getting a call back from their senior director of liaisons and stuff. And it kind of launched the Respect the Beef podcast, because I felt we needed a voice.
Yeah. I think that's awesome. I think that the more good information that can be put out there, the better. That's part of why I do what I do on my page, is to kind of educate, because I think people are so removed from where their food comes from now that there's a hunger out there, whether people even know it or not, just to be more connected to their food and where it comes from and how it's made. And so I think there's a hunger out there for knowledge about where their food comes from.
Oh, for sure. So when you, you're now looking at doing direct to market beef, but was that on the cards when you first started your Instagram, or was that just from a ranch point of view to get the ranch and what you're doing out there?
Well, it's kind of slowly come together. I've always thought it would be awesome to be able to do that. And when I started the Instagram about a year ago, or started pushing it about a year ago, I kind of had that in my mind. But anyway, as I've grown the Instagram platform, it's kind of created a pathway forward to be able to do the direct to consumer.
I guess we started backwards, as in we're first generation ranchers, and we started this just doing direct to market beef. Like, we've never done pairs or auction or feeder stock or anything like that. We've never taken anything to auction. Everything is direct to market beef. And I think we started off doing two or three a month every few months, and now we're doing 15 a month every month.
That's awesome. Yeah, we've been a cow calf operation since forever. And so we sell our calves, our spring calves, we'll sell them in November, December, usually get rid of most of them. And then after we sell them, maybe five different people make a living off of them after we sell them. So it just makes sense, if you can capture back some of that and cut out some of the middlemen and go direct to consumer, you have a much more sustainable business model, the more you can do that.
So do you split your herd? Do you still do the pairs and then you put some aside to grow, to home grow, or are you bringing in feeders that are almost ready just to finish off?
So we are just barely getting ready to start selling direct to consumer. We've been doing some local stuff, but as far as the larger scale shipping to consumer project that we're working on, that won't get launched until this spring. So this fall we held back some calves, and going forward we'll try to hold back more and more to be able to feed the direct to consumer side of it. It's going to take a little bit to grow. I don't know how soon or if ever we'll be 100% that way, but it's going to take a little time to build the infrastructure to do that.
It's good to have revenue diversification, though, to have a vertical that's your direct to market or direct to consumer beef, but also still your feeders and auction calves. Like, there's no point getting rid of one.
Well, like I said, I don't know if we'll ever be completely out of that, but I mean, the more you can sell direct to consumer, the more middlemen you're cutting out. So we're going to push that direction and see how it goes.
So you're a fifth, I thought it was fourth, you're a fifth generation rancher. And when you left home, were you, that said, I'm not being a rancher, because you've had quite a varied experience, or were you always going to come back home and run the ranch?
No, and at different points, I was pretty sure I wasn't going to, but as I was away from home and when I started my family and started kind of moving in that direction, I decided that it is what I wanted to do. And I always liked it, but anyway, I just wasn't sure that's what I wanted to do forever. But as I got closer to having kids of my own, I decided that I did, but it wasn't always the plan.
But your life experience that you've done, that you've had since leaving the ranch and coming back, I mean, that must be a huge plus and a huge benefit for moving the ranch into more of a business direction.
Yeah, I think that it's good to spend some time away from the ranch just to kind of learn different skill sets and to experience different places, different people. As I sent you in my bio, I spent 2 years as a LDS missionary in Texas and learned Spanish, and that was awesome. I still speak Spanish. I still can use that today, which is nice. And then I got my degree in business management, and I worked as a sales manager for a few years. And I think just having a little bit different background and having lived in different places, it made me appreciate more what I was coming home to, and gives me a good perspective, I think.
Oh, for sure. Did you have any resistance to the changes you wanted to make?
Not a ton. As I had researched, kind of what I wanted to do pretty well and was able to make a decent proposal, and everybody got on board pretty well with it. I mean, it makes sense. And if you can handle the logistics of all of it to go direct to consumer, it makes sense.
So will you be shipping? Like, I know here in British Columbia, we can only deliver or provide beef within BC. We're not interprovincial. So I don't know, can you only do Idaho? Can you ship all over the US?
We can ship all over the US. You have to do a few things to do it, but you can, and that's our plan.
I know we here, there's a distinct lack of processing facilities and butchers. We have all our slots booked until the end of 2023. A lot of people are struggling to get in anywhere. Is it the same for you?
It is, to an extent. I was able to find a pretty good place that had some availability, and I've got myself scheduled in there into the foreseeable future as well. And then my local. So if you're gonna sell beef retail or ship it, you have to have a USDA approved facility to process it, and there are definitely a lack of those. But I found a good one, like I say, and I'm going to go through them for our shipping stuff. As a fifth generation rancher, I have the benefit of my great-great-grandpa started, and my great-grandpa grew it some, and my grandpa grew it some, my dad and my uncle have grown it some, and now we're trying to grow it more. So it takes time, obviously.
And is it still a family-run ranch? Like, you all, is uncles, aunts, brothers, sisters, are you all involved, or...?
Yeah, so my dad and my uncle are the owners, and then my cousin and myself are kind of the next generation coming up. And then we have a few more distant cousins that work with us as well, but my dad and my uncle are the owners.
And it is that the it your brand is Hat Brand? Is that the ranch or is that something?
So the Hat Brand is one of our ranch brands. It's the brand we brand all of our steers with. And it was my great grandfather's brand.
Okay.
We actually use my great grandfather's brand and my great great grandfather's brand still today are our brands.
And what's the other one?
The other one is an FB. My grandfather was Frank Bedke, and FB were his initials. So that anyway, that was his brand, and that's what we still brand our heifers and our cows with.
Do you do range as well, or is it all various ranches under?
Yeah, it's our from April until the end of the year, our cows are out on the range.
Same. We just got it. We just found out yesterday we've been... So we back onto Crown and range, and we have a 6,000 acre range, and we've been applying for the rest of it, which is another 30,000 acres. And we just found out yesterday that we've been approved for that. So that just makes life so much easier having the range.
So would that be like federal ground or provincial ground or?
Well, it's called Crown. I mean, I think I'm not Canadian, but I think in some way it still belongs to the Queen. Because it's part of the Commonwealth, it's Crown land. I could be wrong, and I'll probably get emails and things. I'm not 100% sure, but it's provincially owned. Like anyone can hike it, anyone can be on there, but we have it for ranging cattle. And they have to be off, I think, in October, and they can go up in April. So you've mentioned, or we've chatted online, because we're very big into regenerative agriculture. And you'd mentioned that you're interested, but you didn't think it would work where you are. Why would that be? Or why don't you think it would work?
Well, just the type of ground that we run on, our range, it takes like 72 acres to run one cow from that April to the end of the year mark, because it's such a desert type of a range.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that it wouldn't work. I'm not educated enough in the different processes to make a determination on that. I'd like to learn more about it. I think it's important to always be learning and be on the cutting edge of whatever practices there are. But it would definitely be harder to implement on ground where it's so dry and the water is so scarce and big chunks of ground are watered by small spots.
So what's your goal? Like what's your goal with the ranch itself and your direct to market beef? Like do you want, where do you want to take it?
Well, I think that the more of our calves that we can funnel through the direct to market route, the more stable of a business we'll have. Each generation has to change a little bit and change how they do business if they want to continue on to the next. And we've got a long history of that in our family. Each generation has done things a little bit different than the previous and has adapted to the way that the world is at the time. And I think this is the direction that things are going. I think people want to get their food more directly from the source. And I think as we move more that direction, we'll be more sustainable going into the future, because my goal is to have my family continue to ranch here and to continue to be part of this legacy and heritage that I'm a part of.
We definitely try and put out there is knowing where your food comes from. And I think more people now are being more wanting to support local and find a source from a local rancher, or local could be, I mean, I think in the US they call local US as in US made and US, like it doesn't have to be within 100 mile, 100 kilometer radius, but more and more people are jumping on that. So I read something, I think it was an American page, Support Your Rancher, I think it was called, and they have been questioning ButcherBox, which is a US company, because they're bringing in Australian beef for their direct market ButcherBox.
Yeah, I've heard some of that.
Hmm. And now they're all in uproar about the Australian beef, and there's some issues in Australia with quality control, and it's just, wow, it's a whole can of worms just being opened.
Well, I think that'll be one of the good things that I can offer, is that I'm sending you beef from right here where I'm from, and you can know that.
For sure. And will you just do quarters, size, and wholes? Like, do you call it a share, or do you call it bulk? Doing meat packs as well, like smaller orders?
Yeah, to ship, it's going to be more smaller orders. I haven't completely decided on what sizes I'll offer, but I'm thinking I'll offer as low as 7 pounds up to like 15 or 20 pounds of meat to be shipped. And then we'll still offer quarters, halves, and wholes locally. Mm. But to ship, it would be incredibly expensive to ship a quarter of a beef, let alone a half and a whole. So it'll be more bundles. It'll be more curated bundles.
So are you looking into like a whole distribution system? Like, will you have to inventory every single cut and upload it so that people buy that exact cut and it goes into a box? Or is it more people just order a mixed pack and you make it up?
Yeah, people will, like say, I'll have curated bundles where I'll say there'll be this much premium steak, this much ground beef, this much other assorted cuts, and I'll have different options. So if people want more of one thing than another, then I can curate a bundle for them based on those preferences.
Nice. And are you grass-fed or grass-fed grain finished? Or do you do both?
We are grass-fed grain finished. So they'll spend most of their life eating grass. We're backgrounding calves right now, and they're eating hay with a small amount of grain just to help as they grow, and then access to pasture as they do that. And then when they get bigger, we'll put them on more of a ration, but they'll be grass-fed most of their life.
Yeah, I think most cows are. It's such a buzzword, grass-fed, and it's like, well, I think all cows are grass-fed.
Yeah, the grass-fed people have done a really good job advertising that and marketing it as though it's very distinct. But like you say, most cattle spend most of their life eating grass.
Yeah, for sure. Did you read, or it wasn't a read, it was a listen. Did you listen to that or watch that New York Times article about how farming and agriculture is ruining the country?
I've caught little clips of it here and there. I haven't gone and sat down and read the whole thing. I know from what I've seen that it's mostly BS. So I try not to consume much BS, but anyway.
It was, I understand now that it was an opinion piece, but I don't think a lot of people realize that. And the information was just wrong. Like, I mean, I don't know much about the New York Times, but I'm shocked that they don't fact check things, even if it is just an opinion piece.
There's a lot of agendas out there. I'm not sure why you would have the agenda to take down people who produce your food. No. That'd be an interesting thing to dive into, I'm sure.
Do you get a lot of interaction or a lot of conflict from the non-meat eating community?
A little bit. If I ever have a reel or a post on Instagram do really well, eventually the vegans get onto it and want to come and call me an evil murderer. So, which is fine. I almost encourage it because it just ups the engagement on my posts, and it's just kind of fun.
Yeah, same. I have some standard replies saved that I just cut and paste.
Well, they come and they've seen a documentary or two and they've read some propaganda, and they come and want to act like they're an expert about what we do. But I mean, they're not. I've had people come and want to accuse me of deforesting the Amazon rainforest in the high desert of southern Idaho and northern Nevada, which is just not true. There's just not a forest that anybody's taken down to put cows there.
No, and what would grow there anyway? Like, I don't think anything could grow where you graze your cows apart from the grasses they're eating.
What's growing there is what's been growing there for hundreds and who knows, thousands of years.
Yeah, and we can't eat it.
No. It's not arable ground either. There's not water to irrigate it, and it's not, like you say, it's too rocky and too steep. It's not arable ground. The only food that could be produced there is is livestock.
Yeah. And it turns inedible grasses into highly digestible proteins.
I always like to ask the people when they come on there and talk about how unhealthy meat is, I always want to ask them, can you name me a more nutrient dense food? And they always change the subject.
We actually have some vegans who buy from us. Like they acknowledge that we are as ethical as you can get, and they're vegan, but their families aren't. So they buy meat from us for their families. And I think that's the best relationship, that you do you. I mean, I have no issue with you doing you. I only have an issue when you step over that line and start attacking me.
Yeah, I don't care if somebody wants to eat only vegetables or only meat or whatever they want to eat is fine. It's just like you say, I don't love when they want to come and call me an evil murderer committing another Holocaust like Hitler. That gets me a little bit. Well, and what do they hope to accomplish by doing that? I mean, are you going to, because they said all these mean things to you, are you going to all of a sudden stop what you're doing? Probably not. Well, I think that's why it's important for people who have a platform to talk about it should. And that's why on my Instagram page, I generally answer a couple questions every day in my stories, just as people are wanting to learn more about it, they can ask me anything and I'll try to answer it the best I can. And I think it's important to just put good information out there.
What's the, what's your biggest hurdle on your journey?
Well, right now it's that we had a record dry year last year, so we're hoping to get a little bit of moisture. You're subject to a lot of that here in the desert, so a dry year at the moment. Of course, that's not always true.
Do you still have snow?
We do, and we've been getting some good moisture this winter, so we're hopeful that the snowpack will be good and we'll have enough water to water our crops and grow enough hay. We struggled a little bit last year. We ended up having to buy a bunch of hay, and I know there's people out there worse off than we are in that department, but
anyway. I think everyone had our neighbor was getting 10 bales off a field where he would normally get over 100. Like, it was super dry up here too. Everyone, I think, was in a drought year.
Yeah. Well, our canal water that we get on some of our farm ground, they shut us off after, instead of getting four or five crops of hay, we'd get like two on several of our fields. So that it was hard. Is that what your background is in?
Yeah, my background is I'm an electronics engineer, and my husband was chief engineer on a big yacht. And my company, or the company I worked for, designed and installed satellite communication equipment for oil rigs and ships and boats and yachts and et cetera. And that's kind of how we met. My company installed the satellite communications gear in the yacht he was working on. But yeah, that's our background. And we gave it all up for tractors and cow poop.
There you go.
Wouldn't change it. Remember, we talked the day we met. I remember him talking about his dream was to own a cattle ranch and to raise Wagyu beef. And that was 17 years ago. So, hey, we're here.
Do you guys raise Wagyu?
We do. Yeah, we have. So we do Highlands and Galloways, which are Scottish breeds, but they do really well in a harsh environment. They don't need as much fodder to thrive. Like, they don't need as much poundage every day as, say, an Angus. Because they've got a lot of extra fluff, they don't need that extra layer of fat to keep them warm and to keep them going. And then we have full blood Wagyu heifers and a bull. So nearly all our calves are half Wagyu, and this year they'll be three quarters. And then we have our full blood line that we're growing as well, which is under a different brand. Like, our brand is WKH for Y Kickahay, but our Wagyu get branded KCW for Kuru Creek Wagyu.
Cool.
They're delicious.
I've heard that. I've never tried Wagyu, but I've heard obviously it's supposed to be good.
Mm. What breeds do you have, Angus?
Yeah, mostly Angus. When I was younger, it was mostly Hereford, but we kind of transitioned more towards Angus. We still have a lot of Hereford in our cows, but our bulls these days are Angus. That's kind of the direction our buyers were interested in, so that's kind of the direction we've gone.
Another Scottish breed.
Yep.
Aberdeen Angus. So they don't breed them quite as big back home as they do here.
Yeah, they've definitely done a lot of things with the breed over here.
Yeah, we made a conscious effort not to do Angus, just because everybody does. That we kind of wanted to go in a slightly different direction. And yeah, we have the stripy Oreo cows with the white belt.
Yep.
The belt of Galilee.
Yeah, there's a few of those around here. There's not a lot of those, but there's a few.
Mm. They're good. There's the farm that we buy a lot of our stock from is called Whispering Winds in Alberta. They were showing pictures of their 2-year-old Galloway steers, the meat, the steaks, and they were beautifully marbled, like just amazing. Definitely a breed that is not as popular though, but they do really well. I'm sure they would do well in your range too.
Yeah.
Hardy breed. So if you had a message or a statement or that you wanted to, you had a direct line to your customers and to your, what would it be? Like, what would your message be?
Well, the main message that we try to, on our business page, on our beef page, the message that we try to convey a lot is to just know the story behind your beef. Don't just buy something from the grocery store that you don't know if it's even from the US or, I guess, of course, I'm talking to my people in the U.S., but anyway, you don't know where your grocery store people or your grocery store meat comes from. So I guess I just would say to try to know the story behind your beef, know the story of where it comes from and what went into it and who raised it. And we're going to be shipping beef hopefully in April, May, somewhere in there. And you can find it at hatbrandbeef.com. And you can follow our Instagram page is hatbrandbeef, or my personal page is Rancher Ryan. And we just show the day-to-day what goes into getting the beef and getting it ready and sending it to the customer.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that podcast with Rancher Ryan. Please do follow him on Instagram. And if you want to follow along with what our ranch is doing on a day-to-day basis, check out YKKHay_ranch. And we will see you next time.